Good help is hard to find, especially in rural America. Hi, welcome to another episode of Bring Back the Bustle, a podcast about revitalizing rural America. I'm Siobhan Jones, your host. This episode is about staffing issues in rural America. We're going to delve into the root causes of skilled labor shortages in small towns. Then we'll suggest ways to mitigate those problems so that we can launch businesses with reliable labor, make our money, and bring back the bustle to rural America. It's really mind-boggling how many customers much of American industry leaves on the table by limiting our presence in rural America. Rather than right-sizing our businesses to serve smaller communities, rural America is all but ignored by the entertainment sector, by the hospitality and tourism sector, the fitness industry, and basically all luxury purveyors of everything from food to furniture to transportation. The topic of right-sizing and offering for rural communities is one that deserves its own episode, and I'll provide that in the coming weeks. Today, though, we're talking about why most businesses don't even bother with rural America. The overarching reason is that we don't believe there's much money in rural America. I mean, the cost of living is low and the people are poor. So at first blush, you think there's no money to be made there. However, I've been there and there is a large number of community banks in rural America. And their presence there suggests that there's some money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be open. And one of the reasons Walmart is the largest retailer in the world is because it does not ignore rural communities. Walmart has more than 4,500 stores in the United States, but there are fewer than 350 U.S. cities with a population of 100,000 people or more. So that means Walmart is in small towns. They're making money in rural America, and we can too. Moreover, think of all the money rural people spend on vices, such as opioids, where the center of the opioid crisis was in rural America. They also find money for cigarettes, which cost about $10 a pack. Nowadays, they drink alcohol, they gamble. All of that vice spending is an indicator that they have money. They just don't have a broad selection of offerings to spend their money on. Only vice purveyors are competing for their money in the non-essential categories. Walmart's there in the essential categories with food and, you know, detergent, toilet paper, those kinds of staples. But businesses who sell discretionary items are the ones that are absent from rural America. At the Rural Fund, because of tax and economic development incentives, we've discovered the way to compete for discretionary income in rural America. But the staffing problem in rural America is real. That's not a myth. We're in the problem-solving business at the Rural Fund. So let me begin by identifying the problem and its root causes before thinking through and posing solutions to those problems. Some of the problems that prevent rural Americans from working include rampant drug addiction. First it was crack, then opioids. Now it's something called Mojo. I don't even know what that is, but you hear people asking for it all the time. There's also a great deal of chronic illness, including HIV. Some of it seems to stem from the drug addiction or from prostitution, since there are a few ways to make money in these areas. There's also a lack of education or training. In some instances, people had skills in the trades, including construction and machinery, but those skills atrophied from non-use. And in some cases, that also goes back to a drug addiction problem, the reason for the non-use. There are some politicians and pundits who cite socialism or an overpresence of social safety net programs in rural America as a reason that rural people don't work. And there are a number of food banks in rural America at churches and whatnot. But these food banks receive the products provided by farmers who receive government subsidies for farming. I'm sure we don't want farmers to throw away the food that taxpayers are paying them to produce, so we should probably leave that double safety net alone. Another complaint is the large number of women-led families with multiple children, and of course, the large number of men with criminal records. Those two kind of go together because the women are leading families only because the men can't find work due to criminal records. In a way, these women are keeping the American-born population afloat because more affluent women have fewer children now than they used to. But the women outside the workforce and the men with criminal records are problems, staffing problems in rural America. Another problem is scandalously low wages in rural America. Why would anyone take a job, say, as a home health aide for $8 an hour when a fast food meal costs $11? It is clear exploitation if someone has to work longer than an hour to buy lunch. The low wages lead to rural brain drain, where most of the people with education move away to earn a living wage. Okay, that's a pretty good list of the primary causes of rural labor shortages. Again, that's addiction, disease, lack of education and training, atrophied skills, parental responsibilities, criminal records, and low wages. When you think about it, each of these is a chicken and egg problem. Did the resident lose their job because they were addicted to opioids, or did they become addicted to opioids because they lost their job? For most people, it's the latter. I think all of the problems I mentioned earlier are economic problems. Rural America once bustled. It didn't fall into despair on its own. The despair resulted when government and industry gave up on rural America. Now to the solutions for rural staffing issues. The author Napoleon Hill pointed out in his book, Think and Grow Rich, he noted how a busted man gets a pep in his step if you give him a good job. I don't know of any man who doesn't want to support his children or provide for his partner. So I guess the overarching solution is if we build it, they will come. If we bring jobs to rural America, the residents will step up and take them. But they will need some help from us. And they'll need to believe that we're there to stay, that we care about them, their future, and their families, that we're not just looking at a way to save money and ship jobs wherever the labor is cheaper. What's the appropriate way to support local labor? It depends on each person's impediment to holding down a job. And it's probably on that list that we provided earlier. So let's go back to it. If the problem is addiction, we need state and local government to make available free treatment programs. That's right, more social safety programs to those who are ready to get clean. Not everybody is ready. So not everyone will take advantage of that opportunity, but enough will to fill some of our jobs, which is our concern. We're investors. We want people to work for us so that we can make money, right? If it's HIV or other illness, that's a disability. We need to make reasonable accommodations for these people and place them in roles that they can carry out without injury to themselves or to the public. If it's a lack of education or training, We'll probably have to recruit experienced hires out of the local area because we need to get started. We can't wait for the new workforce to be ready to work. But we can work with local high schools, trade schools, colleges to train for the local residents for entry-level roles. We can do that. If it's atrophied skills, that's the easiest problem to fix because you have muscle memory. If you put a person back to work and you have a little patience with them, they're going to remember or they'll relearn those tasks. Kind of like riding a bike, right? If you haven't ridden a bike in a year, You get back on it, you might wobble a little bit in the beginning, but after a few minutes on the bike, you'll remember how to do it again. If parental responsibilities prevent someone from working, just provide affordable childcare. If it's a criminal record that's stopping people from working, maybe not require them to check a box about a criminal record. Or maybe change your policy so that you don't exclude people who have criminal records. If it's low wages, that's the one that's going to be the most difficult for you, because it requires you to rethink some fundamental principles that you may have. You cannot slavishly adhere to Milton Friedman's principles of shareholder take all. If you take that approach in rural America, all could be 100% of nothing. When you have a small population or a small labor pool, there aren't as many replacement workers. So you can't run away those who want a little bit more for their time. You have to pay a living wage. That will lead to retention and lower recruiting costs in the future. You don't have to recruit people if the jobs are already filled, right? So don't think of paying a little bit more as losing money. Think of it as saving on HR costs. So that was the list I provided earlier. We've covered them all. And as you can see, the solutions are obvious. I didn't say anything new, insightful, or deep. What's missing, the reason the problems exist, is we're missing resolve on our part as employers and investors. We don't have the resolve to address the issues. We just go, oh, there's a problem. Let's move on to something that's less problematic. From an HR standpoint, we need to be prepared to offer long-term support for local labor. It's in our interest to do so, to provide that support, so our businesses can operate in rural America rather than leaving all that Walmart money on the table. At the Rural Fund, we develop and operate small businesses that solve pain points for rural communities that are located near AI data centers. We're privately held. We operate in this manner to give our shareholders a piece of the action from the properties we invest in and develop in rural America. It makes shares in our fund much more valuable than if we held only naked real estate and leased it out to businesses. There's much more money in the operating business itself than it is in the real estate, especially in rural America. The Rural Fund chooses to play in rural communities because so many others have left that space available to us. I invite you to visit our website, which is www.ruralqrof.com, ruralqrof.com. QROF means Qualified Rural Opportunity Fund. There at the website, you'll be able to read more about how we use local labor to operate our businesses in rural communities. I'm Siobhan Jones. I will be here again next week talking about rural revitalization. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too.